There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Chris Onocero. I am joined, as always, by my guy, Jay Binkley. We did it. We finally did it. We have completed the regular season and the championship weekend for college football.
I remember when you and I we're sitting here looking so forward to the season. Like, yes. We got 2 weeks left, and we got week zero. Remember week zero previews?
Week zero was fun,
week zero. Now we have all that information from the prospects. We've added new ones, raised some, lowered some prospects since then. But now's the fun season, because now you start to get players going to the Senior Bowl, whatnot, the combine, and then, of course, leading up to the NFL draft. But we're finally here. I'm going to miss the college football season. It's going to be still fun to watch the playoffs and the bowl games that will not have a lot of NFL prospects in them unless they're freshmen or sophomores.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because, like, a lot of the bowl games that we're going to be watching here over the next month or so, they're going to be previews for next season. It's going to be a lot of players who do not get a ton of playing time, getting opportunity to go out there and show what they can for the 2024 season, because most of these top prospects aren't going to risk any sort of injury in a meaningless bowl game. So most of those guys are going to sit out. Like, if you're a first-round pick, if you're someone who is looking to be drafted in the first round, you're probably not going to risk it unless you're, you know, you really feel like you can improve your draft position with another great performance. But really, most of these guys are going to benefit more from the Senior Bowl and from the combine and from individual workouts, pro days, all of that. That's going to be more important than that one bowl game. And so right now, for many of these top prospects, their season's done. So it'll be really interesting to see what those younger guys do with the opportunities that they're given in the bowl games.
Well, we got to see them play last weekend, probably for the a lot of them the last time until we see them at the combine. Senior Bowl, I'm really looking forward to, because that's the evaluation period, especially now they're letting juniors go.
Yeah.
And not, you know, fourth-year juniors, the few that they did let in. And really, you know, it's that week. It's that week. They do show it on the NFL Network most of the time, but that's the lead-up. That's more important than the actual game.
Yeah.
Is seeing guys from smaller schools go against the big dogs and everything else. It makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah, it will be a lot. I'm really looking forward to Senior Bowl week. I'm really looking forward to the game, Shrine Bowl, all of that. That'll be really fun. And then very quickly, we'll be on to the combine. And then once we get to the combine, now we're going to really start to tick up here in draft season. So even though college football season is done, even though the NFL regular season is starting to enter that home stretch as we get to December, it's very much starting to get into the prime season for us as we get into the actual draft season. And now these mock drafts are going to be a little bit more educated than they were back in August. And we're going to start to see some of these guys really solidify where they're going to be in the draft. And that to me is incredibly interesting to look out for. But I want to start with a professional team that we follow, the Kansas City Chiefs, and how I think their performance lately really kind of showcases their strategy for next year's NFL draft. And I want to start with the offensive line. I don't know how many mock drafts you've looked at recently, Bink. But
About 10 a day, to be
honest. Yeah,
I was doing that before the show. I waited between shows. I stayed here instead of driving around. But even some deep mock drafts.
Yeah.
They went several rounds.
Yeah, I saw some seven-rounders, right? And, yeah, so I've been looking at a lot. I've been doing some mock drafts. Next week, we're going to do a first-round mock for the entire league.
And how many picks are you doing with these? Because I have a lot of people send them to me because they should get two comp picks.
Yeah, this is just first round. This is league-wide. Okay. This is just first round. We're not going to do a Chiefs one yet because I want to wait until we get the comps first, because I don't want to go out here and make like seven picks and they don't have all seven picks.
Oh, yeah.
I want to wait until we get the comps first before we start doing that. I want to do a first-round mock draft next week. We can kind of get a feel for the valuation of these guys. I think the valuation is going to change, but I kind of want to get an initial barometer of that. But I want to start with the Chiefs. Their offensive line is, I think, going to be really interesting here over the next few weeks. And mainly that has to do with the left tackle position. Donovan Smith has been the starting left tackle for the entire season. But, or was it two, three weeks ago? When it was brought up, we brought up here on this podcast, Wanya Morris. He was dressing for games, and he even got a few snaps.
He got a snap about 3 weeks ago, then he played five snaps against the Raiders, in which he had two pancakes within those five.
Yeah, he destroyed the ops in the run game. This week, this past Sunday night, they played the Packers. They unfortunately lost. Wanya Morris comes in a little bit in the first half. What is it, the entire second half he played?
Yeah, he started the second half. Donovan Smith ended up coming back in, do believe, there in the second half. And, you know, Wanya comes in, he gives up a sack right away.
Yeah.
And Mahomes
first pass block attempt.
Yeah, Mahomes was sacked three times, which, you know, in a half. It's never happened to him before. Chiefs had the fewest sacks in the NFL, only giving up 14, so there's some experience in that offensive line. But here's kind of my thing with Wanya Morris going in there. I like this for so many different reasons. One, Andy Reid doesn't trust rookies in two different positions.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is quarterback. I mean, he's not a huge fan of rookies anyway, but quarterback and left tackle, because he considers those so important, and I understand why. And you look, like, Nick Foles was – Chase Daniels here, and then, you know, Nick Foles is released. They bring in him. It's Chad Henne. It's Matt Moore. It's guys that weren't, you know, spectacular NFL players, but guys that could handle it, because – you don't want to have a situation where a backup comes in that's going to pee their pants. You know, a rookie quarterback that's going to pee their pants.
And you don't want to ruin that rookie, too, by throwing him into a situation that they're not prepared for and it messes their head
up. But this team's got Mahomes. It's not about developing. That's the thing with Michelle. You know, people like Shane Michelle, and I kept saying, who cares? He's never going to start here. It's Patrick Mahomes. Like, who cares about his development? Their job is not to develop quarterbacks for the future. These guys have already been developed. You refine them, and it comes down to who do you trust. And we saw last year, use it for example because it happened. Who do you trust in a 98-yard drive in the playoffs to get the job done without peeing their pants and being able to handle it? Chad Henne did that. Led the Chiefs down 98 yards. They get a touchdown. That's why he was here. That's why they want. So as much as we wanted a quarterback last year, like, you know, just keep throwing darts, do that New England Patriots way of taking a quarterback in and flipping them for picks that we've seen so often many times with that team, Blaine Gabbert became available. They jumped on it because they, again, not superstars in the NFL, but guys with NFL experience, they covet. And then the other one's left tackle. Juwan Taylor had some experience, NFL veteran. They're going to move into left tackle. clearly he got here and like, okay.
They're like, yeah, you're not a left tackle.
We got to do something else. So they give you Donovan Smith that had a kind of an off year last year, but he was the blindside protector for Tom Brady. And by the way, he came off an offensive line that gave up the fewest sacks in the NFL. So that was experience. So when Wanye comes in there, I'm like, okay, I like the versatility. I like the fact he's a left tackle for several reasons. One, I believe the Chiefs need to hammer pass catchers in the draft this year. It's time. And when the question is out there about a left tackle, because it's going to cost you a lot in free agency. If you go out and get a tackle to come in here, a couple years ago, COVID year, it was Eichenberg, Sam Cosmi, Alex Leatherwood, all these guys, but they never ended up being left tackles. Chiefs made the right decision. They took the call from the Baltimore Ravens and ended up getting Orlando Brown out of the deal. Well, the Chiefs don't have a ton of money. And not only that, they need to spend their first draft pick on a wide receiver. That is evident. Last year, it's just been two darts in Sky Moore and Rashee Rice. They have got to be able to go out and get receivers. And I think Wanye Morris can be that guy. Yes, he gave up a sack, but he came in cold. No pun intended. It was cold there last night. But you come off real quick off the bat. Hey, get in there, Wanye Morris. And all of a sudden, you're in the game. And he had to know he probably could get in there with Donovan Smith had that because he was on the injury report the last 2 weeks with that neck. So he goes in there, gives up a sack, settles down, and really had some really nice run blocks in the running game for Isaiah Pacheco that was crucial and did a nice job pass blocking once he kind of got that sack out of his system. But, man, I feel they need him to develop more than any rookie. Like they got to, because they might have to have this guy as a starter at the most coveted position on offense, the left tackle, to protect your team, your franchise, Mahomes.
Yeah, I said this a few weeks ago. The fact that he was dressing as a rookie tackle when Darian Kennard wasn't dressing last year when he was a rookie tackle or a rookie tackle option. He was, kind of floating between guard and tackle. But I was like, yeah, the fact that he is dressing now and the fact that they felt comfortable enough to put him in showed me all I needed to know.
Yeah, because Reed will trust a rookie, man.
Right.
It's huge.
I know. Because, like, they just don't do that at the tackle spot. I mean, Eric Fisher was a right tackle his rookie year in the league because they had Brandon Albert. They could have very easily traded Brandon Albert and put Eric Fisher in as the starting left tackle
especially
they really wanted to.
Is your franchise. Everybody knows. He's your franchise.
You could have done it, but instead.
He's the reason going to the Hall of Fame. I was speaking to Andy Reid. He probably gets in there because of his career milestones, but. Those two Super Bowls Mahomes helps him get. Let's face it. That helps Andy Reid go down in history as one of the greatest coaches ever.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like it made total sense that they would not put Wanye in any sort of situation that he's not prepared for. And yesterday, last night, they gave him they gave him a great opportunity to show what he could do. He's a killer in the run game already. Like, seriously, from the first run block snap he took against the Raiders, he mauled that guy. Whoever the hell that edge rusher was, he mauled his ass.
He plays with the temperament of the new line. It's a nastiness about him. Trey Smith's got it. Creed Humphrey's got it. Jim Tooney's got the nastiness.
Oh, yeah. And they love that. Like, they love that.
Juwan Taylor's got the penaltiness.
Yes. Yeah, he does. He is
but I think there is some nastiness there a lot.
There is, but he's also very undisciplined.
At least he's got that footwork done with that, that alignment.
He's fixed that since week one. But I think Wanye's shown a lot of promise. At least in the run game, he's a killer.
Yeah, because they're not going to move Juwan over to left.
No.
Forget about that. Because
yeah, that's gone.
It was hard enough for him to figure out where to be at the line to get penalties.
Right.
But to ask somebody to come in and then learn how to step with the left foot, much different. That's why they're kind of using Wanye there. And I truly believe Juwan stays on the right side.
I think so, too. I think it was very evident from the very get-go when they got Donovan that they weren't super confident in Juwan as a starting left tackle. The fact that they moved Wanye over, because he was a right tackle at Oklahoma, the fact that they moved him over to left tells me all I need to know about what they think of him. And the fact that he got those.
But he played some left side at Tennessee.
He did. He did. But again, that was like early in his career. That was before he transferred to Oklahoma.
Where he got to know Trey Smith.
Yeah. He was lined up next to Trey, who was the left guard at the time. So, I think that this bodes really well for the Chiefs in the draft. I think that this gives them the opportunity to potentially just skip that whole position. Maybe third day you go get another Darian Kennard type, developmental guy that you hope could be a future tackle for you. But I think, just like you said earlier, number one goal, go get you some pass catchers. Get you a receiver, get you a tight end, load up on talent because you're going to need it this is an offense right now that is clearly deficient as far as playmakers go, skill position players go, and this is going to be the draft where you finally do what we've been saying the Chiefs needed to do for the last couple years, which is get some offensive talent.
It's called loading a position, and we've seen this team do it. They've done it with defensive backs. Again, they had five rookie defensive backs playing the Super Bowl last year. You know, it's loading on a position. And again, okay, it's fine. You throw a dart at Sky Moore and Rashee Rice. Obviously, I wanted more. Not going to happen. But, you know, with the fruits of labor are there with how good this defense has played with the fourth-ranked pass defense in the NFL. But I'm talking load receivers. Boom, boom, boom. You know, if someone doesn't work out, it's okay. If two of the three work out, perfect. That's what you want in an NFL draft. I think three pass catchers, first three picks. I'm not kidding. Two receivers and a tight end. Like, I am loading up at that position, and you say, well, you know, it's time. It's time when Brett Veach got here, you know, Tyreek Hill was already here, you know, established great receiver. Travis Kelce, the greatest tight end of all time, already here.
They signed Sammy, but yeah. that's like the only big
but
move
Veach
that
really
they've
wanted
made.
Sammy because of the leadership, the blocking, yeah. and things like that. And he appreciated that, but now it is time to load for Mahomes. And why not do it? And again, I've used the example of Peyton Manning. Listen, he elevated talent around him. Brandon Stokely, yes, became better with Peyton Manning. Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison might beg to differ. Mm-hmm. And well, Marvin's in the Hall of Fame, Reggie will get.
Reggie will.
But they might differ that Peyton Manning made him because, you know, they're good receivers. Quarterbacks have these guys. Duper Clayton with Marino. Yeah, Tom Brady was able to do it well because when he had Moss and Welker, he never won a title. But he put up those gaudy numbers. But again, you know, Giants and Spags stopped them, so that's it. But not everybody's Tom Brady either, and that was kind of a you can't even.
It was
really
a different time.
Example.
Like his first three titles were a different time,
predicated by great defense.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the Chiefs, where you know the great defensive team early, then switched to offense, then went back to defense, and the Chiefs are playing a lot more defense, a la the 2015 Broncos with Peyton Manning, that then became you know winners on defense, but. I'm for the loading process. And I remember talking to Veach a couple years ago. It was on the day shift. We got an interview with Veach. And we asked him, you know, like, you ready to go out and get some talent around Mahomes? But at that point, you know, the talent was already here. You know, okay. But eventually you're going to have to. And with only four guys predating Mahomes, this roster's already been flipped. It is time to get the talent for the future. Because right now, probably in a year or two, it's just going to be Mahomes and that's it. Unless Winchester and Butker hang around, but Kelce is not long for this NFL after one or...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This year or next year after that, and Chris Jones might end up with another team next year because those are the guys predated Mahomes. But Winchester and Butker might be here But now it's time to load up on talent. I'm talking throwing three darts. This is where I've been the last couple of years. It's time. It is time to do that for the Chiefs. Hey, if two of the three work, perfect. But they've got, and it's what people say, well, can Brett Veach draft a talented player on a skill position? Because he's done so well on other positions. I'm like, well, yeah, but when you grade him on just drafting like one to be the guy, like Rice or Sky Moore, they better be good or he's going to get criticism. And Rice has been a very good rookie as far as rookie numbers are concerned. But give the guy two or three picks in a draft and then we'll really judge it.
The league has become one of those leagues where you overload on talent as opposed to getting just enough. Because, look, we know how this game works. You miss on picks. It looks like they missed on Sky Moore. Like, that's what it looks like right now. Unless he has some crazy comeuppance here the next few weeks or even next year. It looks like they missed on Sky Moore, which, you know, look, he's super talented in college. We all saw it. It hasn't panned out at this level.
You gave him Mahomes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You gave him Mahomes, and he still hasn't figured it out. So, like, that's...
Not that, like he's Daniel Jones here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not like you were out here making a smarter than, smartest guy in the room type pick. This is a guy that many people thought was a potential late first-round wide receiver. It hasn't worked out. That's okay.
I thought so, too.
I know you mocked him, and look, I like the pick. Clearly, we've been wrong about that. It happens. This is part
right
of
about Christian Watson, though. By the way,
yeah, we don't know. Yeah, we really. I liked him. You liked him. So yeah, I mean, certainly, he's looked good.
Character
there.
Concerns guy. Well, not his character.
Yeah,
concerns,
he's a small school guy.
Character concerns podcast guy.
Yeah, but like my thing was just, I think you got to load up on talent whenever you're in that position. And Brett Veach, to his credit, whenever there's a glaring issue with the team, he has overloaded that position group with talent. He did it with the defensive line. He did it with the cornerbacks. He did it with the offensive line. Completely overhauled, and those three position groups now are the strengths of this team. They have to now go out and address what right now is. I mean, right now, I don't think we've seen any position group be as deficient with this group as the wide receiver group has. Like the O-line, that was one game that whole thing fell apart.
They were the fewest sacks given up right in the NFL. So.
Yeah. The run blocking has
gotten pretty good.
Yeah, the D-line was a problem, but they were still winning with the D-line. The defensive backs were a problem, especially 2018. You know, they've been a problem for years, but they still were winning. And they're winning right now with this receiver group. But, like, man, we can see that they can very well, much more than the other positions, cost them in the playoffs. And it's becoming a big problem. We do have a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel with Rashi Rice. We're starting to see that a little bit with him. And I love the fact that he's getting so many snaps. I love the fact that he's getting a lot more targets the last couple games.
It's kind of perfect for what they need, yard after catch guy, because that's what Juju was.
Yeah, I just don't think that I don't think that Rashi is the guy. I think he's a very good, but I think he's what Sammy Watkins was in this offense.
Well, bringing this thing full circle, Chris, is the fact that, let's go back to Wandale Morris. This is why he needs to develop.
Yes.
The Chiefs don't need to be thinking first-round left tackle next year because, Felix, we're still waiting on that one as far as edge rushers.
He's a stash.
And Karloftis, let's keep in mind, they have drafted two first-round edge rushers. So now, I think they're more of a free agency side for the left tackle or a guy that's already been here in the system and got NFL experience now that Wanye does. But bringing it back full circle, the development of Wanye Morris enables the Chiefs to be able to prioritize wide receivers and tight ends the first round. That's why Wanye Morris is incredibly, incredibly important to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, he's vital to their plans. Left tackle is such an important position. Being able to solve that issue with a rookie third-round pick is the dream that I think Andy and Veach envisioned when they took that kid. When they were picking him, they were like, this guy could potentially solve all our issues with our offensive line, save for, eventually the Juwan Taylor situation. Hopefully he stops getting penalized so much because he's the most penalized player in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So if they can get that situation figured out, if Juwan Taylor can be more disciplined, if Wanye can really develop into a solid left tackle, well, now you fix your wide receiver problem going into next season, all of a sudden, like, what's the weakness of the team? If the wide receiver room is not an issue, if your tackle spots aren't the issue, what's your weakness?
Yeah, look at this as far as Wanye is concerned. At Tennessee, by the way, 2020, or 2000, let's go to 2019. An SEC all-freshman team member of 247 Sports True Freshman, named to the Athletics midseason freshman All-American game, started 12 of 13 games at left tackle, okay, including the Gator Bowl. So then the next year he started 5 at left tackle, and 2 starts were blocking tight end in the team's jumbo package. So showing that versatility. Then 2021, he moves to Oklahoma, played in 6 games in a backup role at left tackle. And then by 2022, second team all Big 12, played 9 games and started 8 at right tackle. So there you see his versatility. Started at right tackle, left tackle Tennessee, right tackle at Oklahoma, and tight end in jumbo packages. But this is what they wanted. Like, this is, and keep in mind, he knew Trey Smith back when he was at Tennessee.
Yeah, so it bodes well for them. I'm sure that they talked to Trey a lot about that during the draft process about Wanye, so they can kind of get a character witness there, if you will. So, yeah, like I said, I think this was a great development. I was really happy. I was saying during the first half, they got to put Wanye in because Donovan Smith is clearly not healthy, and he's a problem. And Wanye has looked good in the little time that we've seen him, other than giving up the pressure that he did against the Raiders and then the sack against the Packers. But you see something in him.
I think he's low-key one of the more important draft picks for teams, considering everything we're saying.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, so they can prioritize other positions. Because all of a sudden, if he didn't pan out and he was terrible and we're sitting here going, they need a left tackle. They don't have the money to go out in free agency and get one and sign their players. What are they going to do? Like, it is so important for him to develop.
So now that the regular season is done, now we're starting to get a lot of news coming out in regards to our various players from around the league who are from around the college football who are announcing that they are entering the transfer portals. Some of them, you're already starting to hear links to other squads.
It's over 1,000, man.
Yeah, it's over 1,000. This is the most that have entered the transfer portal, and it's probably going to be a lot more because we're still getting announcements coming in. The highest before, I think, was last year at 775. So now we're talking about massive numbers. I mean, this is on the scale. This is, you know, basically NFL, NBA free agency on steroids. But the biggest names here, a lot of these are quarterbacks here. So big names here, Riley Leonard, quarterback for Duke, who is linked to Notre Dame, and that would be a big get for them. Surprising, considering that Riley Leonard was a guy that many people thought could be a potential first-round quarterback in next year's draft. But I do think that a lot of that hype started to wane a little bit. Middle of the season, he had some injury issues, and he's now, you know, looking to transfer, so I think that's off the
board. And as Matt Rule, the coach of Nebraska, said, you know, it's cost you $1 or $2 million to get a quarterback, or up to $6 or $7 million
for
quarter. And here's the thing with it, man. Riley Leonard, he will be an NFL quarterback. It might be a day one selection when all turns out. But a lot of times people are looking for that right fit, the right system, the right coach to help them get to the NFL. Because if not, I think they'd go. I know the no money is good. It's still not potential long-term NFL money. But you know, for the floundering around guys like, you know, Will Howard, it's going to get an opportunity to make $1 or $2 million. Who knows if he ends up making the NFL or drafted in the 7th round or undrafted. There's no guarantee, but he can make $1 million or $2 million. But I do feel a lot of these guys are using this to get experience to go to the next level, because a lot of these guys that are transfer quarterbacks in the portal you view as NFL draft picks.
Yeah, these are guys that we've talked about as potential draft picks and it's, you know, at some level. And I think these guys are looking mainly, I mean, the big thing is you want that first round pick because you want that fifth year option. Because that fifth year option means that you're going to make a lot of, that fifth year is, like, a lot of people don't understand, the fifth year is huge. It could be pretty huge. Like, Joe Burrow is going to be going into his fifth year next season. And I think it's like around $30 million for that fifth year option. It's obviously it's predicated on
a guy that transferred himself.
He transferred from Ohio State to LSU. There's a lot of money in it for that fifth year, and there's, you know, certainly some good security because you can sign a contract after your third year. So these guys want to go and get that money because it's just, it increases their earning potential long term. So yeah, you brought up Will Howard, quarterback for K-State. He was, I mean, originally you were hearing stuff like Notre Dame, but obviously now with Riley Leonard, that's not going to happen. Then you have DJ Uiagalelei, quarterback for Oregon State. He's entering the transfer portal for the second time in his career. Tyler Van Dyke from Miami, he's entering the portal.
Pro Kyle quarterback McCord. Prospect for sure.
Yeah, that was a guy that you were hearing as a potential first rounder. Kyle McCord, quarterback for Ohio State, he's entering the portal. Dylan Gabriel from Oklahoma, he is entering the portal.
That one surprised me quite. Also, another one that's going to get, it's already getting big time looks from a lot of schools. Cam Ward from Washington State.
Cam Ward from Washington
getting,
State.
He's getting a lot of looks.
Yeah.
This will be his third school.
Yeah. And, you know, for a guy like him, late in the year, Washington State started to pick up a little bit of steam there, and so he was getting talked about a lot. A couple of other names haven't officially declared from what I've seen, but guys who have been rumored to be in the transfer portal, one being KJ Jefferson from Arkansas. That was a guy that you saw as a potential first-round pick in this year's draft.
I wasn't buying it, though.
I wasn't buying it either. But he was a name that was tossed around. Yeah, yeah, very inconsistent. The other one being Taulia Tagovailoa from Maryland.
Some of those ACC passing records.
Yeah.
He is smaller than Tua.
He's smaller than Tua. And you were, it's funny, it's like he was saying before the season, he was already getting like seven-figure offers to transfer anyways.
He might be just good at passers, Tua.
Yeah. So, you know, that's going to be an option there. He could be a big get for one of those bigger schools looking to kind of bridge the gap with between, you know, their quarterback that they had this year and a young quarterback that they're trying to develop. So those are the big names there that are being thrown out as potential transfers in for the 2024 season. So this will be, I think, really interesting because this will affect how some of these guys end up in the 2025 draft, because I mean, Riley Leonard jumps off as a guy who could end up being the top quarterback in his draft class.
Unless Quinn Ewers stays.
Yeah, unless Ewers stays, which you've heard some stuff about that, but I kind of think that Ewers is going to go because I think he's going to get somewhere in that mid-first round grade. I think there's going to be a team there that'll try to go out and grab him.
Taulia has set the record for big.
Tagovailoa could end up being one of the top guys in the 25 draft. Tyler Van Dyke is another guy that had some fanfare early in the season. After that, just absolute collapse in that game where they should have knelt. That was basically the end of it for him. But, you know, he's a guy that you look at. Uiagalelei is another guy that, like, you see some of the physical aspects of an NFL quarterback. He just hasn't put it together completely. And so, like, yeah, I think that there's some really good names here. And I think that these are guys that we'll definitely be shortlisting a year from now to potentially be a first-round quarterback in the 25 draft. As for the guys who are, as far as we know, still in the running for the first round, those guys, obviously Caleb Williams from USC, going to be the top quarterback taken in this draft.
Who's admitted he's not playing in the Holiday Bowl.
Yeah, which makes obvious sense. He's got to protect his body because he's probably going to be a day one starter for most likely the Bears.
Makes no sense, but Bo Nix said that he would play.
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. He has time to change his mind, but Drake May from UNC is all but for sure going to be the second quarterback. Jaden Daniels has really started to fly up draft boards and is looking like he's going to be the third quarterback and probably a top 10 player taken in the first round of the draft. J.J. McCarthy is still somehow being considered a first round pick by a lot of people. I'm very confused by that because he hasn't played well almost a month and a half now. Bo Nix, name you just brought up, is certainly going to be one of the more intriguing guys, and I think might be the most undervalued of the players here. And then Michael Penix Jr. as well could also be one of the more undervalued quarterbacks in this draft class. So
he's going to Fiesta Bowl as Bo Nix.
Yes. So those are the names that are being thrown out here as potential first-round quarterbacks. And there's a lot of interesting names that we've seen. I mean, over the years, we've seen some pretty hefty quarterback-centric first rounds in the NFL draft. One being in 2018, where we saw five guys go in the first round. Actually, one of the better quarterback drafts that we've seen in a while.
The record, 1983, with the six quarterbacks taken, obviously. It's, you know, that was the famous quarterback draft in 83. Yes. We saw five go in 18 and 99. 99 was kind of funny. Tim Couch, Donovan McNabb, Akili Smith, Dante Culpepper, Cade McNown.
Only two of those guys were really ever good.
Yeah, McNabb for sure. McNabb and Culpepper
are the only two guys that were really good at
2018,
it.
Mayfield, Darnold, Allen, Rosen, and Jackson. There's three of them there. Mayfield's made a career out of himself.
Yeah, he's been a good journeyman.
Josh Allen for sure. Yeah. And Lamar Jackson for
Lamar's been great, yeah. So, you know, those are some good drafts there. So there's definitely options there at quarterback, and that would help the Chiefs because it gives them it basically takes up some spots that could help push some of these wide receivers down in the first round and help them get a better pass catcher for them. But there's also talk of what we're going to see first round wise with wide receivers. How many of these guys are going to be drafted in the first round? I think it's going to be a lot of first round wide receivers here.
Some mocks have seven and eight. Record seven. 2004. Seven. Honestly, Chris, I've had this feeling we're going to have six first-round quarterbacks. You mentioned there, I think, all those guys, potential, who knows, with McCarthy, we'll see what happens. But Ewers would be thrown in the first round if he goes. Let's not forget Spencer Rattler. He's probably a day-two selection for South Carolina. He's really resurrected his career there.
Yeah.
But if he had, let's say if he had five, low-end five quarterbacks, and receivers don't hit seven, even though I think the record's 13 in the first two rounds. Would say that you have six first-round receivers. That's 11 players off the board between just quarterbacks and receivers. So you picking at 31 or 32, all of a sudden you're picking at like 20. Then all of a sudden you don't have to make a big jump like we thought. So very important for wide receivers and quarterbacks to be selected.
Yeah, so the list of guys who have kind of been thrown out there as potential first-round picks. Marvin Harrison Jr., who I think is going to go right after Caleb. I think he's going to go second overall. If it's the Cardinals that are there, I think the Cardinals get that. If it's the Patriots, I think he goes third overall. I think the Patriots will take Drake May. But I think Marvin Harrison is going to be the first non-quarterback taken off the board. Then you got Malik Nabers, who is one of my favorite guys in this draft class.
86 for 15, 46,
Man,
and 14
crazy.
Touchdowns.
That's crazy. I love Malik so much. Romo Dunze is another guy as well that is going to be, I think, either just in the back end or early in of the top 10 or early in the teens.
Listen, Odunze is a game changer. He catches everything. That's one thing. His hands are incredible.
Yeah.
But Odunze, a lot of times, top 10 pick. And the one thing about him, he's at the great trio. Jalen McMillan has really turned it on since that day.
Yeah, he had a great game this past week.
And Jalen Polk kind of had some rough games. I mean, he started to have some good games as of late, but Romo Dunze, 81, 14, 28, and 13 touchdowns. Unbelievable year.
Yeah, I mean, what we're seeing from a lot of these first-round receivers is NFL-level production, like NFL numbers. And mind you, these guys, most of these guys played 12, 13, 14 games this year, and you're seeing them go out and put up NFL-level production. So, Keon Coleman is, I think, the unicorn in the draft class for wide receivers. He is a unique combination of size and speed, agility. He's incredibly athletic. He might be the most athletic of the receivers in this draft class.
Kind of like a DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
6'4", but he can be a returning. He's 6'4", with incredible speed.
Right.
And he's incredibly physical.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Of the receivers, of the players in the combine, Keon Coleman is going to have the most eyes on him by the teams. In
he's
the media.
Big dude, 6'4", as a kick returner, too. Yeah. I mean, he's that, you usually see that 5'10", 5'11".
Yeah, usually the kick returners are smaller. The 50, fact that you've 6, got,
58, and 11.
Yeah,
for him
mind
this
you,
year.
This is a guy who's like 1 inch shorter than Travis Kelce, and he's returning kicks. So that's going to be super interesting to see. I think of the players in the combine, Keon Coleman is going to be the most interesting guy at the combine because of that combination of size and speed.
He himself into a top 10 pick.
He could very well do that. If he runs, and I've said this before, if he runs a sub 4.440, he is going to be the second receiver taken in this draft. He's going to go right behind Marvin Harrison Jr.
You think he's going to hit Malik?
Yes. If he's sub 4.4, yes, 100%. If you get a guy who's 6'4", 215, with his ability to go up and get the ball in the air, his vertical, because I think his vertical is going to be great.
6'4", about 215, 220.
Yeah. Yeah, so you got him at that size, 6'4", 220. That's the size that T.O.
needs to stay right there. Don't get up to 240.
No, no, yeah, don't do that. 6'4", 220 is the size that T.O. was during his career. You get someone with that size and that speed, sub-4.440, 100% he's going right after Marvin Harrison Jr. A.D. Mitchell, who I think is probably going to be a back-end first-round guy.
Yeah, I've liked him for a long time. He's been mocked to the Chiefs a lot. Again, we're talking 6'4 wide receiver.
Yes.
And you know what? He's going to have to carry the load for Texas.
Yeah.
Because an ankle injury with Xavier Worthy?
I think it was
Worthy.
An ankle, yeah.
Yeah, Xavier Worthy, he's considered a first-round receiver, too. But Jatavion Sanders, the tight end, A.D. Mitchell's going to be counted on it a lot. And he transferred from Georgia back to Texas to be closer to his family and all that. But A.D. Mitchell's an absolute stud.
Xavier Leggett is another guy that I've brought him up as a moneymaker guy in the past because of his production there at South Carolina. He had over 1,200 receiving yards this year.
Xavier Leggett is also, he's big. He's 6'3".
He's a big dude, yeah.
And he's just a guy that does just about everything. I mean, big physical wide receiver, 6'3", to about 230 pounds.
Yes.
I mean, this guy is a big dude. I'm very curious about his 40 time.
Brian Thomas Jr. is going to be really intriguing. This is a guy I really like for the Chiefs. It was funny. What was it, like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I compared him to MVS. I'm sorry about that, Brian. I will never do that again. I actually, watching him play more, I kind of feel like he's a T. Higgins type. Like, he's 6'4". He's not, like, super big in terms of weight-wise. He's, like, right around 200, just a shade over 200. But he's 6'4". He's got long arms. He uses his size well. But he's also got some speed to him. I wouldn't be shocked if he was sub-4.5. He was, like, somewhere in the mid-4.4s as far as 40 time. He's got some speed to him. Like, I know he looks tall and lanky, but he's got a little speed to him.
But 6'4", 205. And the one thing about him, too, is, you know, 60 catches for 1,079 and 15 touchdowns. Keep this in mind. He played with Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
Malik had 14 touchdowns. He has 15. Both of them over 1,000 yards. But again, the part that I get scared about a little bit is
number
attention
two.
From defensive backs.
Yeah.
Like, how much attention was Brian Thomas getting if Malik Nabers, you know, was kind of the go-to guy for LSU, and that's where the concentration was.
And I get that. And we've talked about this.
And having a quarterback like Jaden Daniels.
We've talked about this with Emeka Egbuka. But I don't think he's the guy that's like the number two, you know, who's benefiting from coverage, being focused on Nabers. And the reason why is because, like, you watch that guy on film. He looks like an NFL wide receiver. He plays like an NFL wide receiver. He wins those 50-50 balls. He's really good at route running. He's one of those guys that, like, if he's deceptively fast, you know, he just looks like a big, tall, slow guy. And then he makes that one cut and he's gone. And he's a guy that's great after the catch. Like, I think he's got what it takes to be a very, very good NFL wide receiver. I really like Brian Thomas Jr. a lot. And I think that, you know, if he were there in that late first round, in that late first round situation, I think he'd be a great option for the Chiefs.
Wide receiver workouts are going to be the thing to watch at the combine.
Xavier Worthy, a guy you brought up, is another option as well.
Returner as well.
I kind of feel like he's probably going to be early second. Troy Franklin is going to be – I think Chiefs fans are really, really during the
big 6'3", 81 catches, 1,300 yards.
Real fast.
14 TDs.
He's a speedster. He can beat guys down the field. That's a guy I think is going to be talked about a lot in the combine as far as the Chiefs go.
Oregon.
Yeah. He was the main weapon for Bo Nix there, and one of the big reasons why they were so good. And then Emeka Egbuka.
Let me see what his weight is, Troy Franklin, because
I don't think he's that big. I think
he's really
right
emerged himself. 6'3", 187, so about 6'3",
he's actually sub-200. And then, yeah, Emeka Egbuka, who's, you know, really, from a production standpoint, was not great. Less than 500 receiving yards this year.
But he was dealing with an ankle injury.
Right, and I've seen a lot of people still put him in the first round. I don't think he's a first-round receiver. I think he probably ends up being late second, early third, but I do think that he will. I want to see him away from Marvin Harrison Jr. because I think Marvin Harrison Jr. drew the attention of the defense, and I think that allowed Egbuka to look better than what he was. So I'm going to be interested to see what he does outside of that, because I wasn't really impressed with him this year.
This list we put together, it's funny because Johnny Wilson, if you throw him in with Keon Coleman at Florida State, but Nabers, Thomas, teammates at LSU, Worthy, A.D. Mitchell's teammates at Texas. The good news is we're going to get to see some of these guys in the college football playoffs with Washington and Texas play. That's huge.
And then, like, one name we didn't bring up, Johnny Wilson Jr., Keon Coleman's teammate at Florida State. I think he's going to be a second round guy. I mean, I would look at him the same way I would look at a Travis Kelce type player, where he's not going to, like, he's going to be really interesting because he's either going to be like a Kelce type or Mike Evans type. He's 6'7". He's massive for a wide receiver. I don't ever recall seeing a wide receiver his size. Usually tight ends are his size. So that's going to be really interesting to see what happens there, because you kind of worry about the speed at the NFL level. And you don't see, I mean, tight end size wide receivers, I think the only one we've seen that had any real level of success was Devin Funchess. And it wasn't a ton of success that he had when he was with the Panthers. It was a tiny, he had some success.
You know, Chase Claypool's this.
Yeah, it was.
Dude, he had the most
big. He was a small tight end. That's why they put him in wide receiver.
Combine warrior being.
He was a workout. He was like what's his name? What's his name? Dontari
Calvin
Poe.
He was compared to Calvin Johnson with his combine numbers.
He was like Dontari Poe. He was a workout warrior that just boosted himself because he did great at the combine. And all of a sudden, everybody was on him. And, yeah, Chase is just – he had a really good rookie season, and that was it. So, I think there's a lot of really interesting wide receiver prospects. There's a lot of guys that we haven't brought up that I think are going to be really interesting. What is the kid from Virginia? Is it Malik Washington, I think is his name? He's really interesting. I think he finished second in the FBS in receiving.
Theo East, Missouri, if he enters, could be a nice mid-round prospect.
Yeah, and I think Ricky Pearsall at Florida could be a good third-day guy who could be a potential Puka Nacua-type guy. I think there's a lot of really intriguing names. And J. Michael Sturtevant as well from UCLA, kind of a speedster-type guy. I think he'll be really interesting, too. I think this is a great wide receiver draft. I think the Chiefs at least should be taking
it. And the
good
news is the Chiefs looks like
they at least should, two wide receivers. Yeah, this is the year.
Grab them.
We said this, what was it, 2 years ago. We were talking about if there was a year to draft edge rushers, 2022 was going to be the year to do it, and it worked out well for the Chiefs. They were able to get George Karloftis, and he's been great for him. He's 8 sacks already on the year, still got 5 games to go, so he's been awesome for them. I'm really interested to see what happens with the receiver position, because I think there's a lot of options for him. So moving on to our prospect recap, not a ton of prospects to go over because there was only, 7 games this weekend?
Ten if you include the smaller schools.
Yeah, if you include Division the smaller one, schools, yeah. But Division One, it was like 7 games. Starting off, you've got the Washington-Oregon game. Washington pulls off the upset in that one. Bo Nix, 21-34 for 239, 3 touchdowns, a pick. He also had 6 carries for 69 yards.
Yeah, he was showing his wheels.
He was their leading rusher in that Pac-12 championship game. His top wide receiver, Troy Franklin, had 4 receptions for 34 yards. So not a great performance from him, but Bo Nix, really good numbers for him. You'll take that. Michael Penix Jr., 27-39, 319 with a touchdown and an interception. His running back, Dylan Johnson, 28 carries for 152
yards. He's really coming on strong.
Really coming on strong here the last month and a half or so. He also had 2 touchdowns as well. Then for the receivers,
here comes the trio.
They balled out. They balled out this game. Jalen McMillan had 9 catches for 131 yards.
The forgotten guy with the injury.
I know. He's been injured for the last month.
But he was looked upon as a first-round pick before the season started.
And he's a guy I think second day could be a really good value for a team like the Chiefs. Romo Dunze, 8 catches for 102 yards. And then Jalen Polk, to finish out the trio, had 5 catches for 57.
It was kind of the mid-season kind of star form that really rised.
Yeah.
He was the guy I kept talking about. Hey,
you talked about Jalen a lot, yes.
He had some games where you had to be a little concerned.
Yes. And, I think that there's going to, like, obviously combine season, pro day season is going to be really interesting for Polk and McMillan, but I think those guys could end up really solidifying their value second day if they go out there and have good performances. The combine is going to be really important for them, but also, pro days and interviews with these teams are going to be really interesting as well. For Georgia, you had Carson Beck, 21 for 29 for 243. Carson Beck, I think, has probably played himself into being maybe a late second day pick.
I don't know, man. Some of these mocks like him in the first.
I don't think he's going to be a first round pick.
I think he needs NFL teams low chance at least 20 starts.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times they do. So, yeah. Could I see a situation where Carson Beck goes back 100% and he's quarterback one there?
Yeah, I think there's I think there's a good chance he could go back. If he does go this year, I mean, next year, I think he's probably a late second-day pick. Brock Bowers, their top pass catcher, 5 receptions for 53 yards.
My favorite player next to Marvin Harrison Jr. in this draft.
Yes.
But a guy that had that tightrope surgery to get back. Some people are like, hey, man, just go and rest for the NFL. That's character. It shows a ton of character. Besides being an outstanding tight end, the best tight end, generational tight end we've seen for a while, high character guy.
And I wouldn't be shocked if he decided to play in their bowl game, even though they're not going to be in the college football playoff. I wouldn't be shocked if he decided to play.
14-point favorites over Florida State.
I know, right? I would. Well, I mean, to be honest, they're probably going to easily clear that line. I would not be shocked if he played in that game. To be honest, I expect it considering his character. And then Ladd McConkey, their other wide receiver,
he's really coming on strong. He's moving up to second round in a lot of of his hands.
I think second day he's going to be
fast. I mean,
yeah. Ever since Brock Bowers got that injury against Vandy, he's really come on and turned into a reliable receiver for them. He was a guy I heard about a lot as a potential first round pick. Didn't really play up to that level. But I think second day he's probably locked himself into, unless he just has an ab. Unless he runs like a 4.6 40, I think he's probably solid lock for second day. And then you have Dallas Turner for Alabama. He had a sack in that game in the SEC championship game. And moving on to Michigan there, J.J. McCarthy, 22 completions out of 30 attempts for 147 yards. I still don't understand why people think he's going to be a first.
Played a great defense. His numbers have slid.
They've slid back.
When Harbaugh was gone, they really slid. When he threw for 60 yards in a game.
Yeah, he looks like a game manager. He does not look like an NFL starting quarterback.
What game was the 60 yards for
McCarthy? I think it was a couple games ago.
It wasn't Maryland. The offense struggled down the stretch for Michigan, but there was a game he threw for 60 yards.
It was like 68 yards, I believe it was. And it was just... It was an embarrassing performance for a guy who's still being touted as a first round pick. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
Here it was against Penn State.
It was against Penn State, yeah.
But still was ugly on the year, 23-76, 20 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Yeah,
he ran for 250 or no, he ran for 146. Threw for 26-30, 19-4.
He looks like a game manager to me. That's not a guy I would take in the first round. That's just.
Let's hope he goes in the first round, though.
I hope he does. I hope he does for his sake and for our sake as Chiefs fans. But, man, I don't see it. Then his running backs, Blake Corum, 16 carries for 52 yards, 2 touchdowns. Not efficient at all. Like, very inefficient.
It's been a down year for Corum, even though they're where they're at. But that defense, Michigan. Yeah. Great too. So
yeah, and then Donovan Edwards, 4 carries for 28 yards. He's really taken a big hit because I heard a lot of people talk about him potentially being better than Corum.
But great blocker, great receiver, ton of talent coming out of high school.
He's probably going to be a third day guy, and I think
I can actually see him being a good pro.
I think he'll be a good pro too.
Like he's got the skill set that teams look for. With the blocking,
He's gonna be one of those guys that like this time next year, you're gonna hear about him as a waiver wire pickup because the starter got injured and he came in and impressed. I think that too. I think both Corum and Edwards will be good pros. I just don't think they're gonna be great running backs or anything. Johnny Wilson Jr., wide receiver for Florida State. 2 catches, 21 yards. Not a very good game for Florida State offensively. They were down to their third quarterback against Louisville with the injuries to Jordan Travis and Tate Rodemaker. Just awful situation for Florida State. Obviously, they were left out of the college football playoff because of their quarterback situation. But, yeah, Johnny Wilson Jr., 2 catches for 21 yards. Keon Coleman, 4 catches for 19 yards.
That's 6'4 and 6'7. That's why Florida State was able.
Right.
But you know what? You know the one thing about Florida State, too, is really, I mean, Brock Glenn had this third. They had a true freshman starting at quarterback.
Yeah.
And they Jaheim Bell didn't have any catches in that game.
Yeah, Jaheim Bell didn't do anything in that game. I mean, I think they only had three receivers. Keon Coleman, it was Trey Benson, and it was Johnny Wilson Jr. Those are the only 3 players that caught a pass.
It's hard to judge him one, you know, having to go freshman.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold it against Wilson or Coleman for that performance because
the team's loaded.
They're loaded with talent, but yeah, there's nothing you can do about it with that. Which I think that's the reason why they did not get in the college football playoff because you only have 3 receivers in that game, that 3 players in that game who caught a pass, and you only scored 16 points against Louisville. So. Moving on to Texas, who played, who beat the hell out of Oklahoma State in the Big 12 title game. Quinn Ewers, 35 of 46 for 452 yards, four touchdowns and a pick. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Quinn Ewers as far as whether or not he'll come back. I kind of think he's going to go into the draft because I think he's going to get a first-round grade. I think that performance really helped him out, and I certainly will think that with Texas being in the college football playoff, he could boost his profile even more. So I think Ewers for sure is going to be in the draft. As far as his receivers go, A.D. Mitchell had six receptions for 109 yards and a touchdown. So A.D., I think, really, really showed out here.
Got himself at the first round at this point.
Yeah, I think he's starting to really make himself some money there.
And they're going to count on him with the Xavier Worthy ankle injury.
Exactly. He's going to be their big guy. Jatavion Sanders, man, had a game.
My second best tight end.
Yes, had a game. Eight catches, 106 yards, a touchdown. He also had a carry for 12 yards as well. You don't see a whole lot of tight ends out here getting rushing attempts, but Jatavion got one, so he's looking really good there. Xavier Worthy, before he got injured, we believe it's an ankle injury, he had six receptions for 86 yards.
Also the returner.
So, you know, this is a guy, if the Chiefs went with Xavier Worthy, I'd be very happy with that too. I like this kid a lot. He's super talented. He's a guy that you can get the ball to down the field. And then a guy that you texted me about because he made a play.
I like big guy touchdowns, man.
We all love fat guy touchdowns. We all love those fat guy touchdowns there, whether it be a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman. Tavondre
Sweat. Bro, he's 6'4", 362.
Who? Sweat. Yeah, Tavondre Sweat. Got himself one reception, 2 yards,
athletic
and a touchdown.
Ability, man.
Man, like, that's always fun to see.
Hungry Longhorn, right.
It's always fun to see that. Tavondre Sweat's going to be a guy I think is probably going to be a second-day pick at defensive tackle. It was really cool to see him go out there and get a touchdown. So
That's it for our weekly prospect recap. Defensive lineman getting a touchdown.
Yeah, it's always really – that game, like, Texas was just on one. They're just so talented. It was going to happen that way.
These teams are loaded with first round
picks. Loaded with talent. So, you know, certainly, going to be those. I mean, I certainly expect Texas will probably end up having some of, if not the most impactful players in this draft class. So like I said, I think that from what we've seen, there's a lot of great options for the Chiefs in the first round at wide receiver. Wouldn't be shocked. I'd be cool if they went Jatavion Sanders in the first round too, and that was receiver in the second round. Because I think there's a lot of good options for a second round at wide receiver too.
So need both.
I think you need both.
Again, three pass catches.
I think you need both.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And I get that, and we've talked about this.
And having a quarterback like Jaden Daniels.
We've talked about this with Emeka Egbuka. But I don't think he's the guy that's like the number two, you know, who's benefiting from coverage, being focused on Neighbors. And the reason why is because, like, you watch that guy on film. He looks like an NFL wide receiver. He plays like an NFL wide receiver. He wins those 50-50 balls. He's really good at route running. He's one of those guys that, like, if he's deceptively fast. You know, he just looks like a big, tall, slow guy. And then he makes that one cut, and he's gone. And he's a guy that's great after the catch. Like, I think he's got what it takes to be a very, very good NFL wide receiver. I really like Brian Thomas Jr. a lot. And I think that, you know, if he were there in that late first round, in that late first round situation, I think he'd be a great option for the Chiefs.
Wide receiver workouts are going to be the thing to watch at the combine.
Xavier Worthy, a guy you brought up, is another option as well. I kind of feel like he's probably going to be early second. Troy Franklin is going to be, I think Chiefs fans are really, really during the
big 6'3", 81 catches, 1,300 yards.
Real fast. 14 TDs. He's a speedster. He can beat guys down the field. That's a guy I think is going to be talked about a lot in the combine as far as the Chiefs go.
Oregon.
Yeah. He was the main weapon for Bo Nix there, and one of the big reasons why they were so good. And then Emeka Egbuka.
Let me see what his weight is, Troy Franklin, because he...
I don't think he's that big. I think he's
really
right
emerged himself. 6'3", 187, so about 6'3",
190. He's actually sub 200. And then, yeah, Emeka Egbuka, who's, you know, really, from a production standpoint, was not great. Less than 500 receiving yards this year.
But he was dealing with an ankle injury.
Right, and I've seen a lot of people still put him in the first round. I don't think he's a first-round receiver. I think he probably ends up being late second, early third, but I do think that he will. I want to see him away from Marvin Harrison Jr. because I think Marvin Harrison Jr. drew the attention of the defense, and I think that allowed Egbuka to look better than what he was. So I'm going to be interested to see what he does outside of that, because I wasn't really impressed with him this year.
This list we put together, it's funny because Johnny Wilson, if you throw him in with Keon Coleman at Florida State, but neighbors. Thomas, teammates at LSU, Worthy, Eddie Mitchell's teammates at Texas. The good news is we're going to get to see some of these guys in the college football playoffs with Washington and Texas play. That's huge.
And then, like, one name we didn't bring up, Johnny Wilson Jr., Keon Coleman's teammate at Florida State. I think he's going to be a second-round guy. I mean, I would look at him the same way I would look at a Travis Kelce-type player where – he's not going to – like, he's going to be really interesting because he's either – I think he's either going to be, like, a Kelce type or Mike Evans type. He's 6'7". He's massive for a wide receiver. I don't ever recall seeing a wide receiver his size. Usually tight ends are his size. So that's going to be really interesting to see what happens there because you kind of worry about the speed at the NFL level. And you don't see – I mean – tight end size wide receivers, I think the only one we've seen that had any real level of success was Devin Funchess, and it wasn't a ton of success that he had when he was with the Panthers. It was a tiny – he had some success.
You know, Chase Claypool's this
year? Yeah, it was
– dude, he had the most
– he was a small tight end. That's why they put him in wide receiver.
Combine warrior being
– he was. He was a workout. He was like – what's his name? What's his name? Dontari
Calvin
Poe.
He was compared to Calvin Johnson with his combine numbers.
He was like Dontari Poe. He was a workout warrior that just boosted himself because he did great at the combine. And all of a sudden, everybody was on him. And, yeah, Chase is just – he had a really good rookie season, and that was it. So, I think there's a lot of really interesting wide receiver prospects. There's a lot of guys that we haven't brought up that I think are going to be really interesting. What is the kid from Virginia? Is it Malik Washington, I think is his name? He's really interesting. I think he finished second in the FBS in receiving.
Theo East, Missouri, if he enters, could be a nice mid-round prospect.
Yeah, and I think Ricky Pearsall at Florida could be a good third-day guy who could be a potential Puka Nacua-type guy. I think there's a lot of really intriguing names. And J. Michael Sturtevant as well from UCLA, kind of a speedster-type guy. I think he'll be really interesting, too. I think this is a great wide receiver draft. I think the Chiefs at least should be taking
and
at least...
And the good news is the Chiefs looks like...
At least should, two wide receivers. Yeah, this is the year. We said this, what was it, 2 years ago. We were talking about if there was a year to draft edge rushers... 2022 was going to be the year to do it, and it worked out well for the Chiefs. They were able to get George Karloftis, and he's been great for him. He's 8 sacks already on the year, still got 5 games to go, so he's been awesome for them. I'm really interested to see what happens with the receiver position because I think there's a lot of options for him. So moving on to our prospect recap. Not a ton of prospects to go over because there was only, what, seven games this weekend?
Ten if you Power include 5. The smaller schools.
Yeah, if you include Division the smaller 1, schools, yeah. But Division One, yeah, there was like seven games. Starting off, you've got the Washington-Oregon game. Washington pulls off the upset in that one. Bo Nix, 21-34 for 239, 3 touchdowns, a pick. He also had 6 carries for 69 yards.
Yeah, he was showing his wheels.
He was their leading rusher in that Pac-12 championship game. His top wide receiver, Troy Franklin, had 4 receptions for 34 yards. So not a great performance from him, but Bo Nix, you know, really good numbers for him. You'll take that. Michael Penix Jr., 27-39, 319 with a touchdown and an interception. His running back, Dylan Johnson, 28 carries for 152
yards.
He's
really coming on strong.
Really coming on strong here the last month and a half or so. He also had 2 touchdowns as well. Then for the receivers,
here comes
Penix,
the trio.
They balled out. They balled out this game. Jalen McMillan had 9 catches for 131 yards.
The forgotten guy with the injury.
I know. He's been injured for the last month.
But he was looked upon as a first-round pick before the season started.
And he's a guy I think second day could be a really good value for a team like the Chiefs. Romo Dunze, 8 catches for 102 yards. And then Jalen Polk, to finish out the trio, had 5 catches for 57.
It was kind of the mid-season kind of star form that really rised.
Yeah.
He was the guy I kept talking about. Hey,
you talked about Jalen a lot, yes.
But he had some games where you had to be a little concerned.
Yes. And, I think that there's going to, like, obviously combine season, pro day season is going to be really interesting for Polk and McMillan, but I think those guys could end up really solidifying their value second day if they go out there and have good performances. The combine is going to be really important for them, but also, pro days and interviews with these teams are going to be really interesting as well. For Georgia, you had Carson Beck, 21 for 29 for 243. Carson Beck, I think, has probably played himself into being maybe a late second day pick.
I don't know, man. Some of these mocks like him in the first.
I don't think he's going to be a first round pick.
I think NFL teams will have at least 20 starts.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times they do. So yeah. Could I see a situation where Carson Beck goes back 100% and he's quarterback 1 there?
Yeah, I think there's there's a good chance he could go back. If he does go this year, next year, I think he's probably a late second day pick. Brock Bowers, their top pass catcher, 5 receptions for 53 yards.
My favorite player next to Marvin Harrison Jr. in this draft.
Yes.
But a guy that had that tightrope surgery to get back in some people are like, hey man, just go and rest for the NFL. That's character. It shows a ton of character. Besides being an outstanding tight end, the best tight end, generational tight end we've seen for a while, high character guy.
And I wouldn't be shocked if he decided to play in their bowl game, even though they're not going to be in the college football playoff. I wouldn't be shocked if he decided to play.
14-point favorites over Florida State.
I know, right? to be honest, they're probably going to easily clear that line. I would not be shocked if he played in that game. To be honest, I expect it considering his character. And then Ladd McConkey, their other wide receiver, 3
receptions for 38
yards.
He's really coming on strong, and he's moving up to second round in a lot of because of his hands.
I think second day he's going to be
runs great routes, fast. I mean,
yeah. Ever since Brock Bowers got that injury against Vandy, he's really come on and turned into a reliable receiver for them. He was a guy I heard about a lot as a potential first round pick. Didn't really play up to that level. But I think second day he's probably locked himself into, unless he runs like a 4.6 40, I think he's probably solid lock for second day. And then you have Dallas Turner for Alabama. He had a sack in that game in the SEC championship game. And moving on to Michigan there, J.J. McCarthy, 22 completions out of 30 attempts for 147 yards. I still don't understand why people think he's going to be a first-round.
Played a great defense. His numbers have slid towards
They've
the end
slid
of the year.
Back. He, right now,
when
he
Harbaugh
looks like
was
a
gone,
game
they
manager.
Really slid. When he threw for 60 yards in a game.
Yeah, he looks like
Maryland.
A game manager. He does not look like an NFL starting quarterback.
What game was the 60 yards for
McCarthy? I think it was a couple
it
games
ago. It wasn't Maryland. I don't think. The offense struggled down the stretch for Michigan, but there was a game he threw for 60 yards.
It was like 68 yards, I believe it was, and it was just – it was an embarrassing performance for a guy who's still being touted as a first round pick. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
Here it was against Penn State.
It was against Penn State, yeah.
But
that
still
was ugly
on the year, 23-76, 20 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Yeah,
he ran for 150. Or no, he ran for 146, threw for 26, 30, 19, and 4.
He looks like a game manager to me. That's not a guy I would take in the first round. That's just
Let's hope he goes in the first round, though.
I hope he does. I hope he does for his sake and for our sake as Chiefs fans. But, man, I don't see it. Then his running backs, Blake Corum, 16 carries for 52 yards, 2 touchdowns. Not efficient at all. Like, very inefficient.
It's been a down year for Corum, even though they're where they're at. But that defense, Michigan, great too. So
yeah, and then Donovan Edwards, 4 carries for 28 yards. He's really taken a big hit. Because I heard a lot of people talk about him potentially being better than Corum.
But great block, great receiver. Ton of talent coming out of high school.
He's probably going to be a third-day guy. And I think,
can actually see him being a good pro.
I think he'll be a good pro, too.
Like, he's got the skill set that teams look for with the blocking. I think
he's going to be one of those guys. He's going to be one of those guys.
I can see him being a pro. But
he's
going to
be one of those guys that, like, this time next year, you're going to hear about him as a waiver wire pickup because the starter got injured and he came in and impressed. I think that, too. I think both Corum and Edwards will be good pros. I just don't think they're going to be great running backs or anything. Johnny Wilson Jr., wide receiver for Florida State, 2 catches, 21 yards. Not a very good game for Florida State offensively. They were down to their third quarterback against Louisville with the injuries to Jordan Travis and Tate Rodemaker. Just awful situation for Florida State. Obviously, they were left out of the college football playoff because of their quarterback situation. But yeah, Johnny Wilson Jr., 2 catches for 21 yards. Keon Coleman, 4 catches for 19 yards.
That's 6'4 and 6'7. That's why Florida State was able to. But you know what? You know the one thing about Florida State, too, is Brock Glenn had this third. They had a true freshman starting at quarterback.
Yeah.
And they Jaheim Bell didn't have any catches in that game.
Yeah, Jaheim Bell didn't do anything in that game. I mean, I think they only had three
receivers.
It was Keon Coleman. It was Trey Benson, and it was Johnny Wilson Jr. Those are the only three players that caught a pass.
It's hard to judge him one, having to go freshman.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not going to hold it against Wilson or Coleman for that performance because
the team's loaded.
They're loaded with talent, but yeah, there's nothing you can do about it with that. Which I think that's the reason why they did not get in the college football playoff because you only had three receivers in that game three players in that game who caught a pass, and you only scored 16 points against Louisville. So, moving on to Texas, who who beat the hell out of Oklahoma State in the Big 12 title game. Quinn Ewers, 35 of 46 for 452 yards, 4 touchdowns and a pick. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Quinn Ewers as far as whether or not he'll come back. I kind of think he's going to go into the draft because I think he's going to get a first-round grade. I think that performance really helped him out, and I certainly will think that with Texas being in the college football playoff, he could boost his profile even more. So I think Ewers for sure is going to be in the draft. As far as his receivers go, A.D. Mitchell had 6 receptions for 109 yards and a touchdown. So A.D., I think, really, really showed out here.
Got himself at the first round at this point.
Yeah, I think he's starting to really make himself some money there.
And they're going to count on him with the Xavier Worthy ankle injury.
Exactly. He's going to be their big guy. Jatavion Sanders, man, had a game.
My second best tight end.
Yes, had a game. 8 catches, 106 yards, a touchdown. He also had a carry for 12 yards as well. You don't see a whole lot of tight ends out here getting rushing attempts, but Jatavion got one, so he's looking really good there. Xavier Worthy, before he got injured, we believe it's an ankle injury, he had 6 receptions for 86 yards.
Also the returner.
So, this is a guy, if the Chiefs went with Xavier Worthy, I'd be very happy with that too. I like this kid a lot. He's super talented. He's a guy that you can get the ball to down the field. And then a guy that you texted me about because he made a play.
I like big guy touchdowns, man.
We all love defensive fat guy
touchdowns.
We all love those fat guy touchdowns there, whether it be a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman. Tavondre Sweat.
Bro, he's 6'4", 362.
Who?
Sweat.
Oh, Sweat. Yeah, Tavondre Sweat. Got himself 1 reception, 2 yards,
athletic
and a touchdown.
Athletic ability, man.
Man, that's always fun to see.
Hungry Longhorn, right.
It's always fun to see that. Tavondre Sweat's going to be a guy I think is probably going to be a second-day pick at defensive tackle. It was really cool to see him go out there and get a touchdown. So
It was defensive lineman getting a touchdown.
Yeah, it's always really – that game, Texas was just on one. They're just so talented. It was going to happen that way.
These teams are loaded with first round
picks. Loaded with talent. So, certainly, going to be those. I mean, I certainly expect Texas will probably end up having some, one, some of, if not the most impactful players in this draft class. So like I said, I think that from what we've seen, there's a lot of great options for the Chiefs in the first round at wide receiver. Wouldn't be shocked. I'd be cool if they went Jatavion Sanders in the first round too, and that was receiver in the second round. Because I think there's a lot of good options for a second round at wide receiver too.
So. Need both.
I think you need both.
Again, three pass catches.
I think you need both. I'd be cool with Jaheim Bell as well. Jaheim Bell's probably a third round guy, maybe even a fourth round guy. So he's a guy you could probably get later. But yeah, I mean, I'm very excited about the prospects here. Certainly, we will continue to monitor the situation with these guys as we get deeper into
college football playoffs. Draft be fun season. With these guys.
College man. Football playoffs is going to be a lot of fun. Next week, we are going to do a mock draft for the first round, all 32 picks, unless you know one of these teams gets their first round pick taken again. We are going to do 32 picks next week here on the podcast, kind of get a barometer for where these guys are going to land and where we're thinking the Chiefs could be at come April when that draft comes to, what is it, in Oakland next year?
Detroit
next year.
Green Bay the next?
Now, I said Oakland. I meant Vegas. But yeah, it's in the Super Bowl in Vegas.
They moved everything out of
they
Oakland.
They moved everything out of there. Oakland.
Just to feel sorry
Oakland's
for
Oakland's about to lose their baseball team, too. They ain't about to have no sports.
Oh, they already are, yeah.
So, for Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Ocero. We appreciate you guys listening to us. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast, download it, give us 5 stars, all that good stuff. We appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to us. We'll see you guys next week.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.